Welcome to this audio issue of Distressed Investing, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on Wednesday, November 26, 2025. The fists come out in bankruptcy court. If all of that discount gets counted for you, we'll see our own claim come up short. The best course for us, we submit, is to sue. In due course, we'll see you in court. Martin Fridson. It caught my attention earlier this month when I learned that Office Properties Income Trust, OPI, sued its own debt holders. That's not unprecedented, but it is unusual. The story begins in December 2024. Struggling financially, the Real Estate Investment Trust, REIT, issued $445 million of senior secured notes due in March 2027 to existing creditors. The new issue was in exchange for a total of $340 million in cash and notes due in 2025. Also taking into account shares and other payments, the creditors effectively obtained the new notes at a discount of $135 million. From an accounting standpoint, the amount of the discount gradually declines as the notes approach maturity. Office Properties, too, benefited from the deal. It got some breathing room by postponing from 2025 to 27 the obligation to pay back a huge slug of debt. Unfortunately, the company's financial condition didn't improve over the course of the year, and on October 30, 2025, it filed for what's known as a pre-negotiated bankruptcy, designed to enable the company to restructure its debt swiftly and emerge from bankruptcy in comparatively short order. Office Properties negotiated a restructuring support agreement with several of its lenders. Naturally, those lenders wanted to maximize the asset value available to settle their claims. One step in that process is to minimize the claims of other creditors. To advance that objective, the lenders who participated in the October 2025 restructuring support agreement sought to reduce the $445 million claim of those involved in the December 2024 debt exchange by disallowing a portion of the $135 million discount. Accordingly, as a requirement of the restructuring support agreement, Office Properties Income Trust has sued the 2024 note holders for recovery of about $76.4 million, the amount of discount remaining on the books at the time of its October 2025 bankruptcy filing. The hope is that the court will deem that sum to be unmatured interest, which is specifically excluded as a valid claim under Section 502 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. I'll watch the progress of this case with great interest. The court's decision may provide some guidance on what to expect if a similar situation arises in the future. Keeping on top of these developments is an important part of the task of identifying the best opportunities in distressed securities. I thank Greg Schwed, of counsel at Loeb & Loeb LLP, for his insights on this case. Meanwhile, more issues fell to distressed levels. That is, the number of bonds offering yields 10 percentage points or more above yields on comparable U.S. Treasury bonds grew from 89 to 100, up 12.4%. The increased count of super high yield bonds boosted the distress ratio. The percentage of issues in the iShares Bank of America U.S. High Yield Index priced at distress levels from 4.7% to 5.2% as of October 31. Portfolio review. Ford has blowout quarter. Ford Motor, NYSE, F, reported strong operating results for its quarter ending September 30 that exceeded expectations for revenue, operating profit, and earnings per share, EPS. The company's adjusted EPS were 45 cents compared with a consensus of 36 cents. Operating profit for the quarter was $4.56 billion, above the consensus expectation of $2.88 billion. During the quarter, Ford benefited from strong demand for its vehicles, particularly in the U.S., and reduced warranty costs. Revenue at Ford Blue, which sells gasoline-powered and gas-slash-battery hybrid vehicles to individuals, was up 7% from the same period last year to $28.0 billion. Operating profit was $1.54 billion as compared with $1.62 billion. The decline mostly reflects foreign exchange differences and tariffs. Sales increased to 733,000 vehicles as compared with 721,000 in the same period last year. Ford Pro, which sells vehicles and software to businesses, generated revenue of $17.4 billion, an 11% boost above the same period last year. Operating profit was up 9.5% from $15.7 billion in the same period last year. Much of the improvement related to a 9% increase in sales to 373,000 units. Ford Pro's software subscription business continues to perform well. Ford Pro Intelligence, a cloud-based fleet management service, reported 818,000 subscribers, an 8% increase since last quarter. Management reported that Ford Pro remains on track for attaining its goal of earning 20% of its operating profits from its high-margin software and maintenance/repair businesses by the end of 2026. Revenue for Ford's Model E, electric vehicle, EV, division, rose 52% to $1.8 billion. The business lost $1.4 billion in the quarter, compared with a loss of $1.2 billion in the second quarter of 2024. This increase in operating loss relates to pricing, manufacturing costs, and tariffs. Ford is also developing a smaller, lower-cost, second-generation EV that it expects to release in 2026. Ford remains in extremely strong financial shape. The company ended the quarter with $32.9 billion in cash, $12.0 billion more than its total debt. A fire at an aluminum plant at Ford supplier Novelize will constrain the company's capacity to build Ford F-150 pickup trucks through the end of the year. Management expects this supply issue to cost Ford $1.5 billion to $2 billion in 2025. The company expects to be able to recoup roughly half of this amount by running extra shifts once the flow of aluminum from Novelize is back to pre-fire levels. In April 2023, we recommended Ford's 0% convertible bond due on March 15, 2026. We see no reason to doubt that the company will pay bondholders in full at maturity. We estimate that the conversion price on these bonds will be $13 per share. It currently trades for $12.96. When the bonds mature in 4 months, they will be worth a higher of $1,000 or the value of roughly 76.9 shares of Ford stock. Peloton rolls smoothly along. Peloton Interactive, NASDAQ, TO10, continues to take steps that increase profitability even without revenue increases. It reported operating results that exceeded expectations for revenue and profit for the quarter that ended September 30th. Sales of the company's connected fitness equipment accounted for 37% of Peloton revenue. Sales fell 5% to $152 million, and operating profit fell 28% to $10.5 million. The company reduced its marketing spending in the quarter in anticipation of a fully updated product line that was introduced October 1st. Revenue from subscriptions to Peloton's fitness classes, which accounted for 63% of the company's total, fell 7% to $398 million, and profits before corporate overhead fell 6% from $294 million in the same period last year. We believe that the largest part of the company's value lies in its subscription business. After the end of the quarter, Peloton raised subscription prices for all membership levels. Its top-tier all-access membership increased to $49.99 from $44.99 per month. Its App Plus membership from $24 to $28.99 per month, and its lowest tier App One from $12.99 to $15.99 per month. Peloton's results are being helped by significant savings from its sales and administrative and marketing costs. Total operating expenses fell 17% from $291 million in the same period last year. The company continues to look for ways to reduce operating expenses further. Overall, given the reduction in overhead expenses, the company's operating profit in the quarter rose 2% from last year to $118 million. Peloton generated $67 million of free cash flow in the quarter, marking the seventh consecutive quarter of positive cash flow, as compared with $11 million in the same period of 2024. Management expects the company to continue generating free cash flow for the balance of its fiscal year, which will end June 30, 2026. Peloton raised its projected operating profits for the year that started July 1 to $425 million to $475 million from previous expectations of $400 million to $450 million. This means the company that was once deeply indebted is now just over 1x levered, adjusting for $1.1 billion of cash, meaning the company could choose to pay off all its debt in just over 1 year. We have no doubt the company will be able to repay the $199 million of 0% coupon bonds maturing February 15, 2026, which we recommended in October 2023. The price has increased 32% since then. As a reminder, shares of Peloton traded at $3.58 when we recommended them on June 14, 2024. 5 months later, on November 11, with the stock trading at $8.90 per share, we recommended taking profits on half the stock. This sale repaid the full cost of the investment and generated a 24.3% profit as well. We suggest holding the remaining shares while the Peloton story plays out. We envision the stock price increasing significantly from the current level of $6.60 based on further earnings growth or sale of the company. Three Houlihan Lokey segments perform well. Houlihan Lokey, NYSE, HLI, reported very strong Q2 results, which ended September 30th, Revenue was $659 million, up roughly 14% from the same period last year. By sector, revenue in its corporate finance business rose 20% to $439 million. Its financial and valuation advisory segment rose 10%. Its financial restructuring business rose 2% to $133 million. Houlihan Lokey recorded EPS of $1.63, 19% above $1.37 per share in the same period last year, and declared a 60 cents per share cash dividend. Houlihan's business model continues to perform well in both strong markets, when the corporate finance business flourishes, and weak markets, when the financial restructuring business becomes increasingly profitable. Sell preferred shares of Albemarle. In our September 12, 2024, report Dig Baby Dig, we recommended purchasing Albemarle's 7.25% Series A Mandatory Convertible Preferred Stock, NYSE, ALPRA, then trading at $42.89. Now we recommend selling those shares. Our rationale for purchasing the preferred shares was that the sharp decline in lithium prices had caused the stock prices of the companies like Albemarle, NYSE, ALB, that produce it, to fall too far. We believed that the market had become too bearish on the long-term prospects for lithium. We, along with most industry experts, believe that over the longer term, demand for lithium would rise substantially. Eventually, its price would need to reflect its production cost plus some profit margin. Amid signs that lithium prices are bottoming out, the trading price of Albemarle's 7.25% preferred stock has risen sharply over the last 2 weeks. On Monday, November 17, we issued a sell alert, recommending subscribers take profits at current levels, then $52.74 per share. Including dividends, this represented a 31% return over the investment period, equating to approximately 26% on an annualized basis. Herbalife shares soar. Shares of health and wellness company Herbalife, NYSE, HLF, popped 35% in the weeks following its November 5 earnings release. The company reported operating results for Q3, ending September 30, that met or exceeded its projections. Revenue in the quarter rose 2.4%, in line with the higher end of the company's expectations. Sales were strongest in Latin America, up 11%, and weakest in China, down 5%. Sales in North America rose 1%. Operating profit was $163 million, down 2.4% from last year, but still above management's projection of $150 million to $160 million. The company narrowed its projection of operating profit for 2025 to $645 million to $655 million from $640 million to $660 million. The low end of this range is $10 million higher than last year's operating profit of $635 million. During the quarter, the company reduced its debt by $147 million to $2.0 billion. Based on the $655 million midpoint of the company's projected operating profit, this equates to a manageable 3x debt to operating profit. The complex formula Herbalife's banks use calculates the ratio to be 2.8x. The company has now met its initial target of reducing debt to 3x operating profit, which it now views as a ceiling, and it is looking to reduce debt by $500 million more by the end of 2028. Herbalife's recent, modestly priced acquisitions, Pro2 Coal, Link Biosciences, and Proveit, are performing well. The company highlighted Pro2 Coal, a digital app that will assess an individual's physical traits and use them to formulate nutritional supplements specifically for that customer. If successful, this could prove to be a new area of growth for the business. Given Herbalife's improving financial condition in June 2025, we recommended purchasing shares up to $9.50. Shares at $11.95 now trade well above that buy-up to price. Sabre sluggish but on course. Revenue for travel software business Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, rose 5% to $715 million. Operating profit rose 25% from the same period last year to $150 million. The improvement was attributable to increased revenue and lower technology costs. Results for the hospitality business, which the company sold for $1.1 billion in July, are excluded from the results in both periods. Management indicated that the shutdown of the U.S. government reduced Sabre's airline bookings 3%, which will have a modestly negative effect on the current quarter's revenue and profit. For the quarter ending December 31, the company expects revenue will rise by low single digits and operating profits will rise by 2%, as compared with the same period last year. Based largely on lost revenue from the government shutdown, Sabre now expects operating profit for the year of $530 million, the low end of its previous guidance of $530 million to $570 million. The company also reduced its estimate of free cash flow for the year to $70 million from the range of $100 million to $140 million. Capital expenditure in the quarter was $20 million, as compared with $19 million last year. The company paid down $825 million of debt, roughly equivalent to the $1.1 billion proceeds from the sale of the hospitality business, after transaction costs and taxes. The company ended the quarter with $3.8 billion in debt, adjusted for cash, as compared with $4.5 billion on September 30, 2024. Despite reducing its projections for the current quarter, management has done an excellent job rebuilding Sabre's business and profitability over the last 3 years. The company generated an operating loss of $133 million in 2022, a profit of $287 million in 2023, and a profit of $498 million last year. Sabre's first meaningful debt maturity is $332 million in bonds that mature on June 1, 2027. Its most significant debt comes due in June 2028, roughly 3 years from now. We believe management will have time to continue building Sabre's revenue and profit, and ultimately its stock price. Shares currently trade at $1.57 per share, well below our buy-up to price of $4.50 per share. While still a buy, we emphasize that these shares are volatile and suitable for risk-tolerant investors. Good cash management helps Diversified Healthcare Trust. Diversified Healthcare Trust, NASDAQ, DHC, which operates a REIT, reported quarterly operating profits of $62.9 million as compared with $66.8 million in the same period last year. Adjusted for $5.1 million of unusual expenses relating to Diversified Healthcare's sale of its 34% interest in Alaris Life, which will yield between $25 million and $40 million, results would have improved to $68.0 million. Occupancy in its senior housing portfolio was 81.5%, up from 79.4% last year. Net operating income for Diversified Healthcare's senior housing portfolio was $29.6 million, 8.5% higher than in the same quarter last year. The improvement is related to increasing rental rates and improved occupancy. Net operating income for the medical office and life science properties was $26.2 million, 4.1% lower than the same period last year. Occupancy rose to 86.6% from 80.8% in the same quarter of 2024. Adjusting to account for the sale of properties, occupancy rose to 82.4% from 81.4%. On average, lease renewals and new leases were 9% higher than previous rental rates. The company ended the quarter with $210 million in cash. The company plans to use cash, proceeds from asset sales, and borrowing to pay off the roughly $640 million of 11.25% senior secured notes maturing January 5, 2026. Though the company has the right to extend these bonds for 1 year, it expects to repay them before the end of the year. Once this bond is paid off, Diversified Healthcare has no debt coming due until February 15, 2028. When $500 million of the 4.75% bonds we recommended in May 2024 come due. Separately, the company received $28 million in proceeds from the refinancing of a joint venture called Seaport Innovations in Boston, in which the company owns a 10% share. Originally, Diversified Healthcare owned 55% of this project, which it leases to Vertex Pharmaceuticals. It sold 45% in 2021 and 2022 when the company needed cash to fund its operations. This is a prime example of how companies that get into trouble often sell off their best assets first. As of September 30, the book value of Diversified Healthcare's properties after debt is $1.7 billion. Based on 242 million shares outstanding, this equates to a book value of $6.66 per share. We believe that the company's results, and the value of its shares, will continue to improve beyond 2025 based on the strong fundamentals for its senior housing portfolio. Post-pandemic construction of new senior housing has remained limited. DHC has a large portfolio of desirable properties, many of which have been renovated recently. The company has been refinancing its old debt at lower interest rates, which should enhance DHC's bottom-line result by roughly $15 million. We recommended DHC stock as part of a package with its 4.75% bonds maturing February 15, 2028, in our report A Stock Bond Combo, dated May 10, 2025. At the time, the 4.75% bonds were trading at $808, while its stock was trading at $2.30 per share. The bonds are now trading for $952 and the stock at $4.62 per share, well above our buy up to price of $3. Bad movies hurt AMC's quarter. AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, reported operating results for the quarter that ended September 30 that were down from last year but above analysts' expectations. Revenue for the quarter fell 3.6% to $1.3 billion. Operating profit for the period dropped to $122 million as compared with $162 million in the same period last year. The shortfall was the result of a weak box office that affected all exhibitors. AMC ended the quarter with $366 million in cash and expects to generate additional cash in the current quarter. Management indicated that demand is strong for AMC's premium theaters, which have extra-large screens, IMAX and other types, and higher quality Dolby sound. As we have reported in the past, the company is using cash flow after debt payments and maintenance capital expenditures to enhance theaters with more comfortable seats, large format screens, laser projectors, and other premium sound systems. In July, AMC announced a series of transactions to strengthen the company's finances. These steps included raising $223 million from the sale of new shares and paying off the $173 million of bonds scheduled to mature in 2026. After these transactions, AMC's next bond maturity will be on May 15, 2027, when $125 million of the 6.125% bonds come due. We recommended these bonds, currently trading around $935, at $846 in our October 2024 report Making Money Off Making Movies. AMC raising capital is good for bondholders, but issuing shares is generally bad for shareholders. The company has indicated it would continue to raise capital as needed to maintain comfortable liquidity. This is a mixed bag for shareholders. Additional shares dilute current shareholders. On the positive side, a stronger balance sheet means the company should be around to benefit from the industry's long-term rebound from the pandemic. We continue to recommend shares of AMC, currently trading for $2.20 a share, up to a price of $4.50. We also continue to like AMC's 6.125% bonds maturing May 15, 2027, currently trading around $930, above our buy-up to price of $880. JetBlue's cost-cutting is a success. JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, reported results for the quarter ended September 30 that came in at the high end of projections. Revenue was $2.3 billion, down 1.8% from the same period in 2024. The cost per available seat mile, excluding fuel, rose 3.7%, which is at the bottom of the company's projection of 3.5% to 5.5%. EPS were negative 40 cents, slightly better than the consensus of a loss of 42 cents. The company will present its detailed projections for 2026 in January. Speaking generally, management expects to break even or generate an operating profit in 2026 and to generate free cash flow in 2027. JetBlue CEO Joanna Geraghty expects the company's capacity, available seat miles, will increase next year based on scheduled aircraft deliveries and fewer planes grounded for engine repair. The company is making significant progress on its JetForward strategy, which is expected to increase operating profits by $800 million to $900 million from 2025 through 2027. The program achieved $180 million in these improvements in the first half of this year and expects to reach its projected target of $290 million by the end of the year. With $2.9 billion in cash, $600 million available to it on its bank credit agreements, and about $5 billion in unpledged assets, JetBlue should be able to see the JetForward program through to completion. JetBlue is increasing its presence in Fort Lauderdale, where demand is strongest during winter months. This move will make JetBlue's use of aircraft more efficient, since most of these aircraft are in their lucrative transatlantic routes during spring and summer travel seasons. The problems associated with the inspections by jet engine manufacturer Pratt & Whitney, it originally expected to have more than a dozen planes out of service due to faulty turbofan engines, have been less than anticipated. The company now expects on average to have 9 aircraft on the ground this year. JetBlue now expects this number to decline in 2026 and for the inspections to wrap up by the end of 2027. As the number of aircraft on the ground declines, JetBlue's available seat miles will increase, without committing additional capital. The airline continues to negotiate with Pratt & Whitney for compensation for JetBlue's extra costs and lost profits. We continue to recommend buying shares of JetBlue up to $7. It currently trades for $4.21. We emphasize that JetBlue represents a volatile and risky stock that has significant potential upside based on long-term improvements in operations and/or a sale to another air carrier such as Southwest. Icahn Enterprises maintains its safety cushion. Icahn Enterprises, NASDAQ, IEP, reported solid results for the quarter that ended September 30. The value of the company's assets rose 17% to $3.82 billion from June 30, the gain largely attributable to a strong performance in CVR Energy. We calculate that bondholders' safety cushion, the amount by which the portfolio could decline before becoming worth less than Icahn Enterprises' total borrowings, rose to 43% from 39% as of June 30. We continue to recommend Icahn Enterprises' 9.75% bonds up to a price of $1,020, which would equate to an annual yield of roughly 9%. Xerox disappoints. Overall, reporting by Xerox Holdings, NASDAQ, XRX, for the quarter ending September 30 was a mixed bag and ultimately modestly disappointing. Revenue for the quarter was $1.96 billion, roughly 4% short of the consensus estimate of $2.03 billion. Operating profit declined 18.7% from $80 million to $65 million, reflecting softness in the print business, new equipment, supplies, and managed printing services, stability in the IT business, and reduced corporate overhead. EPS of 20 cents exceeded the consensus estimate of 8 cents. Economic uncertainty from tariffs and the government shutdown has put a damper on the sale of new equipment, especially to Xerox's governmental customers. For this reason, management reduced its planned revenue growth this year from 16% to 17% to around 13%. It reduced its projected profit margin from 4.5% to 3.5% and its estimate of free cash flow from $250 million to $150 million. On the positive side, management has identified an additional $50 million of savings related to the July acquisition of printing company Lexmark. The company now expects merger-related savings to equal or exceed $300 million. Management reaffirmed its expectations that these savings would come in at a relatively even pace through the end of 2027. These savings will be recurring and will be in addition to the $500 million of cost cuts remaining in its Xerox Reinvented program. Xerox made no mention of hiring financial advisors, as Bloomberg had reported in October. If the company had hired advisors, we believe the most likely reason would have been either an offer to repurchase bonds at a discount, or possibly for an exchange offer to extend the maturity of some or all the roughly $1.6 billion in debt coming due over the next 5 years. The company paid down $226 million in debt during the quarter, and as of September 30 had $535 million in cash. Total debt at the end of the quarter equates to 6.1x operating profit for the last 12 months. Debt excluding loans, secured loans, and leases to Xerox's customers, which will be paid off as they mature, equated to a relatively modest 3.1x operating profits for the same period. The price of Xerox's 3.75% bonds maturing on March 15, 2030, is roughly $350 per $1,000 of face value. We continue to recommend purchasing Xerox's bonds up to $500. New to distressed investing? Start with our top three best buys today. For those who are new to Porter & Company or just beginning to invest in distressed assets, we offer a way to get started. Each month in distressed investing, we will highlight three current portfolio picks that are close to an attractive buy point. We suggest you use these top three best buys as a starting point. JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, stock. JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, once again reported solid results for the most recent quarter that ended September 30th. The company's jet-forward strategy is bearing fruit. It's expected to increase operating profits by up to $900 million in stages between 2025 and 2027. The program so far has achieved $180 million of these improvements, including $90 million in the most recent quarter. On June 17, we recommended investors take profits in JetBlue's 0.5% convertible bonds maturing April 15, 2026. We believe shares of JetBlue have significant potential upside based on long-term improvements in operations or a sale to another air carrier such as Southwest. We repeat our recommendation to buy shares of JetBlue, currently trading at $4.20, up to $7, and we emphasize that JetBlue's stock is volatile and risky. Action to take: buy JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, up to $7 per share. Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, stock. In July 2023, we recommended 4% convertible bonds issued by travel technology company Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, which have since been repaid, as the company was beginning to rebound from a steep pandemic-related decline that called the company's future into question. Sabre's turnaround continued, and in December 2024, we recommended buying shares of Sabre. On July 7, Sabre completed the sale of its hospitality solutions business to asset manager TPG for $1.1 billion. We continue to see upside over the longer term. We expect that operating profits will increase over the next few years and that the company will dedicate its cash flow to reducing debt. Both of these factors should support the value of the stock over the longer term. We recommend shares of Sabre, currently trading at $1.57, well below our buy up to price of $4.50. We emphasize that Sabre's stock is volatile and suitable for risk-tolerant investors. Action to take: buy Sabre, NASDAQ, Sabre, up to $4.50 per share. AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, stock. In our January 9th report, a nail-biting sequel, we recommended purchasing shares of AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, the largest movie exhibition company in the world, with roughly 9,889 screens, 7,711 located in the US, with the balance in Europe and Canada. Almost all of the company's more than $4 billion in annual revenue comes from movie ticket sales and from concessions, the sale of popcorn, candy, and soft drinks. AMC's management has done an outstanding job of managing the company's operations and finances through the pandemic and its aftermath. The company has defied the naysayers who believed AMC might need to file for bankruptcy to reduce its debt. Over the last 5 years, management raised money by selling stock, bought back some of its debt at a discount in the open market, and extended bond maturities. AMC is now on sound financial footing, and poised to benefit from the increasing number of tentpole movies, those released at 2,000 or more locations, in 2026. With its financial house in order, the company is planning to use its free cash flow to increase its premium offerings like extra-large screens, deluxe sound packages, and reclining chairs. In our recommendation in January, we detailed why we believe that AMC's stock, currently trading at $2.20 per share, will be worth $10 or more within the next 2 years. Note that while we find AMC's shares very appealing, we emphasize that they are also very speculative. We recommend purchasing shares of AMC up to $4.50. Action to take: buy AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, up to $4.50 per share. Click here to access the distressed investing portfolio. Martin Fridson, Porter & Company, Stevenson, Maryland. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Distressed Investing. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our Best Buys, where we highlight three current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find them under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.